It's Football at 4 on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Ah, Twitter. What a magical place. Steve-Ack with Chad Brown. Football at 4. And Rashad Mendenhall called Big Ben a racist. He tweeted out, think about what it would take for to render Antonio Brown the greatest competitor of our generation incapable of showing up to play in his last game.
Everything he had to say was instantly nullified by that line. The greatest competitor of our generation.
Yeah, this is just, you know, he's a friend of Antonio's.
Right.
Obviously. Then some dude replied, because Twitter, you can, you know, put something out there and then you just can be a dude and you can just reply to it. And all of a sudden, you're part of the story. So Russ said, coming from a guy who quit on the team for San Diego, why don't you tell us what would make a guy quit? Fans have memories. Flexing your Twitter muscles. So Mendenhall replied, all right, I'll end the mystery. B's racist and Antonio Brown's black. He had to catch balls from a racist quarterback. Every honest player knows it. It's not a big deal. He was just supposed to take his lickings and move on like a slave for real.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Wow.
So the problem is, even if you're right about all of it, you know, you kind of just lose it all when you're throwing out a professional athlete comparing him with a slave. You just lose it all.
Yep.
Right?
Well, you lost.
Now help me out here.
You lost all credibility with the greatest competitor of our generation line, but then you lost all integrity and anyone else who was possibly listening to you with the line. Yeah, you know, to compare AB, Antonio Brown, to a slave, a guy who's got 40 plus million, 50 million now after his deal with the Raiders.
Yeah, I just assume like Rashad Mendenhall just wasn't that great of a student, like academically, I guess, or he doesn't know all that much about history. And he doesn't, I guess, understand who and what slaves actually were. But like a slave, for real. Not for real. Like, not at all. Now, is Ben Roethlisberger racist? I don't know. Maybe. I have no idea, Chad.
I don't think so. I was his teammate.
Okay, tell me.
I don't think so. Ben's certainly a tricky guy. And Ben is not how you would ideally draw up the makeup of your franchise quarterback.
How many years did you play with Ben Roethlisberger?
Just one.
1 year. Okay. Never saw anything, never got any vibes, nothing.
Nothing. Nothing of the sort. Nothing of the sort. Again, Ben's tricky and he's got his own quirks, but nothing that would make me say Ben is a racist.
Plus, what's the claim? He had to catch balls from a racist quarterback. Every honest player knows it's not a big deal.
Well, now but then you're saying he's a slave.
Yeah, I don't know. Is it a big deal if your teammates are racist?
Yeah, it is.
Have you known racist teammates?
No.
15 years.
No, I've always thought of the locker room as literally the greatest meritocracy on the planet because your merit what brings you in there. So even if you are someone who's not, you know, used to being around black people, guess what? You're going to be around them. This is how it's going to work. So whatever your
you've
racist...
You've been around for a long time, too, right, by the time you get to the NFL.
Right, so whatever your racist ideals were, maybe you grew up in a racist household, hopefully by the time you get to the NFL, you've removed some of that and you've met quality teammates of every single race that would help you push some of those racist thoughts aside.
Mm. Okay. The Twitter.
It's a fascinating cesspool, but then it's also an amazing tool for our society.
What was Bosa doing for Twitter today? What was he up to?
He says he deleted
Nick
all...
Nick Bosa,
Ohio State defensive end, most likely to be one of the top two or three picks in the draft. Mm-hmm. he deleted all his pro-Trump tweets because he's assuming he may get drafted to San Francisco.
Okay.
And San Francisco is an incredibly liberal Democrat city.
He's just doesn't want that anymore. Doesn't right. want that as part of his past.
But, you know, of course, he talked about it. So now it's everyone.
He talked about deleting them?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Why would he do that?
And, you know.
Why wouldn't he just quietly just delete them all?
Apparently not the sharpest tool in the shed. So, yeah, fascinating, interesting.
Hey, there's something I don't want anybody to see. Let me tell you what I did.
But it's, okay, but the question then becomes, so as a guy who coaches, who's coached guys for the combine before, I've always talked to guys about their social media and how you should clean it up.
Yeah.
But if Nick Bosa felt, if he felt so strongly about these tweets, is he a coward for taking them down? Was it bad judgment?
No.
Or is he?
No, I don't think so. I think you hopefully evolve as a person and you realize, wow, what a knucklehead I was here. And I've changed. Hopefully that's what it is.
No, but I don't think he's claiming to have changed. He just recognizes that the city where he would be drafted wouldn't agree with those opinions.
You don't think it would go hand in hand?
No, that's not an evolution. That's recognizing that people are going to like what I have to say, even though I still feel strongly about it.
You don't think he's had second thoughts about it? Do we know any of the tweets? Do we know anything that he said?
I'd like to think someone has got some screenshots. I'm sure they'll show up over the next day or so.
Okay. I don't know. I mean, I have certainly posted things on Twitter, and I'm like, what am I doing? And I, you know, take it down for whatever reason.
Right.
I have gone on, like, lengthy rants about things, and I'm like, this is not going to help me, and delete. Some people are like, hey, I gotcha. I got a screenshot or whatever. I'm like, oh, okay. I mean, you know, I don't know, Twitter. What am I supposed to say about Twitter?
I don't know, but I just, you know, on one hand, I want to tell guys to clean it up.
Is Josh Allen a racist for the things he put on Twitter back when he was in high school? Does he have to address those things?
He did. He did address those things.
Okay.
And we have seemingly moved on.
You think his teammates on the Buffalo Bills are all right with him?
I would hope so. That was high school. We all did really dumb things in high school.
Yeah, I mean, if Nick Bosa was like...
But these are recent Bosa.
You know, part of me is too, like, what's fair for the goose is fine for the gander. That doesn't sound right. But it's like...
I'm not criticizing. I'm just posing the question.
Who's to say you can't have a political opinion?
You're right.
Like, everybody... Every time somebody hits about the political opinion, everybody thinks it's like the same political opinion. You can't say, hey, it's okay to have a political opinion. Oh, but only if I agree with it.
Right.
Either you think it's okay or it's not. I actually think it's okay.
I think it's okay, too.
So if your political opinion is opposed to mine, I'm okay with it because I'd be a hypocrite to say, oh, this instead of that. So I don't know if he feels uncomfortable with it, you know, whatever, it's up to him. I don't favor any form of hate speech whatsoever.
Right.
You know, to me, that is, unless, of course, you say your endorsement of a political candidate is equivalent to hate speech. But then that gets into some sort of other weird argument. I mean, like Josh Allen's thing wasn't against like gay people or something like that, or was it flat out racist? I'm forgetting exactly what it was.
Was he quoting some hip hop lyrics?
And, yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
We should all just do your grandma test.
Can my grandma read this and see this?
That's right. What would grandma think?
What would Grandma Scott say?
Right. What would she say?
I've actually said that to myself a few times.
Okay. Would grandma be okay with me liking this or retweeting this or whatever? Could I explain this to grandma? And most of our grandmas have passed on. I know. It's a metaphorical sort of thing, not literally what grandma thinks. That's it. Just think about that next time you send something out on social media. Unless your grandma was with the Klan or something.
Goodness.
Something preposterous. I mean, there were bad grandmas out there, Chad.
There's a movie about them.
Right. Demaryius Thomas is pursuing his football dreams. And there's another mock. I love my mocks, D-Mock. I got another one for you. And they are so far off of the Broncos, it hurts. It's actually painful. Details next.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Oh, we may have to amend our Twitter rule about, you know, what would your grandma think? Because...
Yeah, on the text line, we got from the 702, unfortunately, my grandma was a horrible racist. So don't do as his grandma did.
Then we were kind of thinking about it. We're like, wait a second. Maybe there are a lot of really racist grandmas out there.
There are.
I mean, they are older people. And then I start thinking about my grandparents. I'm like, yep, I'm pretty sure they were racist too. Yeah. Okay, I don't know. Who's a nice person in your life? What would they think of it? Yeah, pretty sure both my grandparents. Maybe that's not the bar.
But you still loved your grandparents, right?
Yeah. They're the type of grandparents who would use language that just was wildly inappropriate, but they thought it was okay. I mean, they wouldn't be like dropping N-bombs around, but, right. You know, but other things. Like, you know, as soon as it's like, people don't say that anymore, Grandma.
They've moved past that word. Society's decided that's not okay.
What? I mean, my dad's 83, okay? My dad is 83. So right. My grandparents were, you know, my grandfather died when he was 92. I mean, they go back a bit, Chad.
Right.
All right, grandparents. I didn't have the greatest relationship with them. What can I tell you? I mean, I don't even know why I brought that up. Demaryius Thomas visited with the Patriots today. Actually makes sense, doesn't it? With Josh.
Makes perfect sense.
Drafted him and all.
Yeah. And then again, as we talked about,
this is how the Patriots do receivers.
Yeah.
Talk about the way to financially handle receivers. Look at the Patriots model.
It's a great model. Within the receiver room, we need to be able to run every single possible route and route combination. But every player doesn't have to do that. We don't have to have one $15 million receiver who does that.
Right.
We'll just break it up amongst the entire room. So they will, if they sign DT, they'll get a feel for what DT can run for them during the course of the offseason. And then during the season, they will design plays for him to be successful in those three or four routes that he can run effectively for them.
Like, they wouldn't care about DK Metcalf only being able to run three routes. They would just have him run those same three routes for the next 10 years.
They wouldn't draft him in the first round to do that. But to your point, they wouldn't worry about that as a player.
Wouldn't be an issue.
Because
it's not how they think.
Well, the Patriots don't worry about what you don't do well. They want to figure out what you do well,
right,
and then how that can fit within what they do.
They really, to a certain degree, just have a team filled with specialists.
Right.
And they certainly would never pay two receivers big money.
No. No. No way. That's not what they do.
The only guy...
They got rid of Randy Moss.
They got Randy Moss, but they did get rid of him.
Well, they got him because they got him on the cheap because he needed to recover his reputation after being with the Raiders.
Fair enough.
And then once he said, hey, I want real money, they said, all right, go on a step, homeboy. See what you can find out.
They picked up Josh Gordon like that.
Yeah.
He's still on the Patriots, by the way, Josh Gordon. Even though it was kind of a, you know, maybe you need a little bit more of a break there, Josh. But think of that team for a second. If it's Josh Gordon, Demaryius Thomas, Chris Hogan, Julian Edelman, no Gronk. You got to move on from that. But don't tell me those guys can't run all the routes at some point and make a bunch of plays. And then the Patriots move on from them.
That's the preferred model of success in the NFL.
Same with the running backs, too.
Yeah.
So the concept of, like, Antonio Brown for the Patriots is, like, preposterous. Le'Veon Bell, forget it.
It fit. From the, they've got such a strong locker room. Bill Belichick can bring somebody in who's got questionable character and can bring something on the field because he's not afraid to get rid of them. But both those guys wouldn't fit because of their salary demands.
DT, right, that's true. And DT is now kind of on vet minimum sort of ground now anyways for the rest of his career.
Well, you know, give him $2 million a year.
Maybe not vet min, but low.
2 years, $4 million, possible chance to earn another $2 million in incentives on the back page, something like that.
Stuff like that. DT's not in the $11 to $14 million, even though he's the same exact age as Emmanuel Sanders.
Right.
He's just not in that world anymore.
No, but hey, you can come here and you got a chance to win a Super Bowl. You got a chance to play with Tom Brady.
You do. You got a chance to keep playing football.
Yeah.
You know, it would be interesting to me because there's so many reasons why I would think DT's just done with football.
I thought I was done for 2 years, but then you get a call from Bill Belichick who says, hey, I want you to come play for me. And you go, if he thinks I can play, well, then I can play.
Then you go and you know you're going to be with Josh McDaniels, who loves you.
Right.
You're going to be with Tom Brady.
Yeah. Well, if you've got anything left in the tank, we'll find a way to make you successful.
And what's the worst that can happen? You get cut and that's a career. That's probably a career.
Yeah, I mean, does John Lynch's short time with the Patriots, that tarnish his career? No. Does my time with the Patriots, it tarnish my career? No, I'm proud of that time. Now, John didn't actually strap up in a regular season game for them.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. I see this mock draft here, the Adam Rank, whoever he is, from NFL.com. And his is like, this is kind of the, you know, I'm going to tell every GM what they should do mock draft. I don't take these as serious, by the way. I like the mock drafts from guys who kind of admit, hey, yeah, I'm going to pick up the phone. I'm going to call people. I'm going to talk to people. I'm going to figure the whole, like, this is just what I think, why I'm a genius mock drafts. To me, they're just weaker than most. And this one, to me, proves itself out because this dude's got the Broncos taking T.J. Hockenson at 10. The more that I think about it, the more Hockenson at 10 just makes absolutely positively no sense.
I think you have to be willing to hitch your wagon to him and make it a critical part of your offense to take him with the 10th pick. He's certainly capable of doing that. It's just a question of what does Scangarello want to have in his offense? Because if you're going to focus on the tight end, he'd be a great guy to have.
Yeah, this is a quirky one for me because this dude's got Noah Fant going 12 to the Packers. Well, listen, I know you don't have to talk to anybody to draft him. The Broncos have proven that. I got it. But Noah Fant's been here now. He has a visit. You know what I'm saying? Like, and they met with Hockenson, I think, at the Combine, Chad. But there's a relationship. And by the way, a tight end for the Broncos at 10 is just stupid. It's not a smart move because of the quality of tight ends you can get later on. I'm so into this Kalele wearing kid out of San Diego State. It's ridiculous. I've been watching him more and more. And 3rd and 5, kid 6'7", catches the ball in tight spaces. He looks like a touchdown machine in the end zone. He doesn't have that big breakaway sort of speed. Like Hockenson has shown more stuff like that. But again, there's just not that type of space in the NFL. At the end of the day, I really would rather have a tight end that can catch the ball in traffic than can run away from people. If he's got some athleticism and can get some yards, awesome. But I don't need it'd be great to get it, but those guys are unicorns to me.
You're going to have more than one tight end in the room. More than one tight end is going to play every game for you.
Yeah.
You're going to have two tight ends on the field for, you know, 20-plus snaps. So why not have a multiple skill set and think of that tight end room, particularly from a receiving perspective, almost like you looked at the Patriots receiving room.
Yes.
Everybody doesn't
What's
have that
wrong
every
with
quality.
That? Right.
We may have a guy who's the fast guy. We may have a guy who's a contested catch guy. That's fine. You just need those qualities within the room to be successful. And the text line is cracking me up with the grandma comments.
Oh, do we have a lot of bad grandmas out there?
My grandma teased me when I was 9. I saw you down the street kissing that colored girl.
Okay.
I didn't know who the color girl was, but I was looking for her.
It's the drive on the fan.
It's the drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Now, we have made a dramatic mistake here today. It's D-Mac with Chad Brown. As we look at the Ramoslaw.com text line. Because I said in terms of these tweets, like, you know, would you show it to your grandma? And then the concept of homophobia and racism comes out. And then we're revealed, like, you know, if we have listeners who are in your 40s, almost everybody's grandma was racist.
I come from an Asian household, and still my grandma's one of the most racist people I know. You guys are killing me with these texts. I mean, a lot of them I can't read on air. But yes, D-Mac, your example about the purity of grandmas and how they need to be the arbiter of what you can put out on social media.
No, you know what? Forget about it. I mean, these human beings were born like between 1900 and 1910. I mean, what exactly were their lives like growing up? Probably not the most open people in the world.
Probably not.
When it comes to like homophobia and race, people born in the 1912 are probably not the most progressive people in the world.
Chances are they aren't. And grandma texts are proven at that point to be completely true.
Sorry. I think you know what I was trying to say.
Right.
Just before you tweet something, just think twice about it, okay?
There we go.
How about that?
All right,
we don't have to keep bashing on grandmas either. We get it. We understand.
You can send them to me. I'll still laugh. I probably won't read them on the air, but I'll enjoy the laugh.
We're having a howl off the air about how racist everybody's grandma apparently is.
All right, back to football.
Yeah.
What about the argument that Hockenson is a unicorn? You don't buy that? You don't think he's that far ahead of the other tight end talent to warrant the 10th pick in the draft?
No. I don't think any tight end is.
Oh, so it's a positional thing.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's just impossible to know he's going to be the next
Gronk.
I mean, everybody would like the next Gronk. I think now at the tight end position, there's a lot of guys who are much better athletes, period.
True, without a doubt.
Every team, see, it's not even Gronk. You really don't want the next Gronk. What you really want is the next George Kittle.
Travis Kelce kind of guy.
But I'm staying away from Kelce on purpose. I'm going, and I say Kittle because he was just, even though he was a big-time college player, he still was kind of under the radar a little bit.
Gronk wasn't top 10 pick. He wasn't first round pick. Gronk didn't even play his last year in college because of a back injury. So the Patriots got him. On the cheap.
I gotcha. It's just a few generations ago. Right. I guess I'm just going a little bit more modern. That's
gotcha.
All.
Okay.
And to me, the guy, yeah, of course, Gronk. If you want to trace, like, give me Julius Thomas. Give me the next Julius Thomas. Fine by me. And I heard my man Stokely. I mean, Stokes, great. And he said earlier today, I miss tight ends that caught touchdown passes. Where'd those guys go? And he goes, I don't care about tight ends and blocking. If I need a block, I'll throw an extra tackle out there. And I could not agree with him more. But it's your generation of guys that insist these tight ends block. And I think sometimes when you get that in your head, you're just missing out on the specialization that has happened over the years to where things are now. So if you want to defend the whole blocking tight end thing, you can. But I just don't think it's as critical as it used to be.
You do not need to be a world beater of a blocker at tight end. But you have to be at least willing because that opens up the rest of the offense. If you just want to view yourself as a glorified receiver, then no, you can't come play for me.
Like Julius Thomas was like the most unwilling blocker of all time.
Right.
And he was in the most productive offense of all time.
True.
So there was, so what?
And did that offense win a Super Bowl?
Did not.
Okay. So for, say the...
Was that because Julius Thomas wasn't willing to block?
It lends itself to a defensive tell and a defensive tip that you can get when this player is on the field. They are not going to run the football here.
Can I point out to you in that Super Bowl, Paris Lennon was a starter?
You sure can.
We had some issues there on defense in that particular Super Bowl.
Right, and I will agree with that.
Champ Bailey was at the end of his time.
Yeah.
Who's my guy on the edge? Robert Ayers was getting embarrassed.
Von Miller was not on the field,
Von
right?
Miller was hurt.
Right.
Didn't even play.
So, yeah, I mean, my overall point is...
Derek Wolfe didn't play.
Jimmy Graham, no one can argue that he's not an amazing receiving tight end. But there's a reason why he's on his third or fourth team. Is he still with the Packers? I'm not sure where he's at this year. Went from the Saints to Seahawks to to the Packers. I'm not sure he's going to be at this year. But there's a reason why, as amazing of a receiving talent as he is, he keeps bouncing around because he's not willing to invest in the blocking
game. How about this? Can we just get somebody who's an outstanding receiver and an okay blocker?
Okay, but that player has to recognize that when it comes contract time, I can't pay you Gronk type of money because you're unwilling to block. I will pay you middling receiver money because that's what you actually are.
You know,
can't claim both.
One of my favorite questions I've ever asked out there at Broncos was Julius Thomas was coming up like on a contract.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, Julius, are you a tight end or a receiver? And boy, did he grind on that particular question, because he knew if he was a receiver, the money would be through the roof for the same exact production that he was putting out on the field. But if he was just to admit, no, I'm a tight end, you just lose millions. So I was definitely trying to, you know, instigate something a little bit there. Listen, I'm not a tough guy, okay?
Right. Yes. Made it to the drops.
You should have seen his reaction. Like, because he obviously considered himself a receiver.
Right.
Yes, yes. And should be paid accordingly. And you know what? He made a pretty good argument for that.
Yeah, Jimmy Graham did the same thing.
But no, Julius Thomas had to have, you know, Shannon Sharp call him Cotton Soft. And had to sort of endure all that crap.
Shannon Sharp was certainly a receiving tight end, but he was more than willing. He wasn't a great blocker, but he was a willing blocker. I had Shannon Sharp block me multiple times when the Seahawks were in the AFC West. So I know the level of effort that he put forth to that.
I just can't get over with Julius Thomas. 24 touchdowns in 2 years.
Right.
Doesn't it feel funny just to hear that?
That's an amazing number. And he had a great quarterback to put the ball where he could catch it.
Yeah. So to me, TJ Hockenson, because I look at this kid, and if you think there's somebody else, third, fourth round, okay. But Gronk wasn't first round, right?
Nope.
Kelsey wasn't first round.
Nope.
George Kittle wasn't first round.
Nope.
And these guys are superstars at this position.
I think it's
Noah Fant's going to be a first round guy. So is Hockenson. So what about, and I'm rolling my eyes on this, Irv Smith Jr. out of Alabama. But more specifically, what about like Kalele wearing San Diego State third round, 6'7", willing to put his nose in there and catch his balls in traffic?
I think it's the position that has the most opportunity for guys from late rounds to be successful.
So anytime I see with the 10th overall pick, the Broncos take a tight end, I just think that person doesn't know what they're talking about.
But I also think that these true, rare unicorn tight ends are worthy of the 10th pick if you're willing to make them a featured part of your offense.
Dude, you better be a freaking superstar, because we can draft like an Ed Oliver, and I know he's going to be productive there. Or I can get Devin White, and I know he's going to be great. Or I can trade back and get two guys.
I'm not sold on the Oliver thing yet.
Okay.
Productive, runs great. I think he can be a great third down interior pass rusher. But where's he going to fit in the run game?
When you come back, who's your guy at 10? I don't know if I even really know who your guy is. We'll get there next.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Sorry about that.
Welcome to Bronco Land.
Okay. All right, Chad. What is your number 10? Chad Brown, D-Mac. Somehow we all survived the... Because you weren't here yesterday, the Magic Johnson stuff.
Yeah.
Right, let's get into that in a little bit, but I can't wait to hear your take on it.
We can also talk about why I wasn't here yesterday.
We can.
All right, so with the 10th pick in the draft... is many mocks that are citing TJ Hockenson as the Broncos pick. I think he'll end up going to Detroit with Matt Patricia, because Matt Patricia saw firsthand the effect that type of tight end had on offense is when he was with the Patriots and he saw what Gronk did.
Okay.
So I'm not sure if he gets past Detroit with the 8th pick in the draft.
Oh, okay.
So based on that,
do you think Devin White gets past Tampa?
Probably not. So then we're left with Devin Bush.
Okay.
Either case.
We're left with a lot of other people, but.
Yeah, but I think you're left with a 3-down linebacker, either one of those guys who can play all 3 downs, play the run,
okay,
play the pass, hopefully be the guy that can help shore up this long-standing issue with tight ends and running backs out of the backfield with the Broncos' pass defense. That's where I'm going right now. I can see the arguments for, you know, Joel Klatt's pick of a tackle.
Yep.
I can see the argument of folks who want to say, hey, you know, you're going to go to West Coast offense. A tight end is a critical piece of that, and you have the worst tight end room in the AFC West. So I can see a logic in a lot of those things.
Can you see the quarterback logic?
Not this year.
You don't even see the logic in it this year.
No. Just because of could any player rise out of nowhere, and have there been good quarterbacks who've come out of draft classes where every draft expert says, this year's quarterback crop's not very good? We are always going to find outliers to that.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm that scout, I'm going to go with the percentages. And everyone, my eyes tell me, not Chad the fictitious scout, but Chad Brown's eyes, who's called college football games and seen a lot of these guys in action, my eyes tell me this is not that great of a quarterback crop.
Okay.
So why would you use a 10th pick in the draft for that guy this year?
I agree.
There we go.
So who's your guy?
One of the Bushes. Whichever one falls to me. I'm one of the Devins, sorry.
One of the Devins. Yeah. It's like, what other Bushes are there? One of the Devins.
Mm-hmm.
You'll take a Devin. All right, so for the sake of argument, you see a greater level of talent between Devin Bush and Mac Wilson?
Yes.
What is it?
Mac Wilson was just inconsistent, sometimes with effort, sometimes with tackling, sometimes with assignments.
Okay.
And as we talked about the other day, I think there's a difference of, you know, 4 to 8 plays a game. That stacks up pretty quickly over the course of a season.
I can't hate on that pick at all. It's it makes sense. Definite position of need. If you're telling me in your football expertise there is a significant, if there's not a significant gap, then I think we have to have the conversation again. But if you really can tell me, especially as a linebacker yourself, you see that gap between Bush and Mac Wilson, I'm going to trust your expertise on that. And then it's kind of a no-brainer.
If you think about the Alabama system, you have to consider those guys to be as well coached as any college player in the country. So for Mac Wilson to have the issues I just went over at that program with that level of coaching, that makes me a little concerned as an NFL coach. If you can't give great effort at Alabama, then why are you going to give great effort here with the Minnesota Vikings?
All right, I feel you.
Yeah.
Okay. And then in the second round, we're looking.
Man, I think I lose my focus from position of need to there's so many options there at that 41st pick.
But if Dalton Risner was there.
I like that kid. I mean, clearly, like the whole town fell in love with him based on 10 minutes on the air with us because of his interview. He was fantastic. The fact that he can play multiple positions. He could sub at right tackle. I think he can play any of the 3 interior positions. Left tackle may be a stretch for him just based on the foot speed, but a guy with that type of versatility, the guy with that type of success and pedigree in high school and in college, he's an impressive guy, and I think he may be gone before that.
But
if he were to slip that far.
Yeah, no-brainer.
At this point, yeah, that's a no-brainer.
Okay, just to play this game a little bit. So you've got Devin Bush. You got Dalton Risner. In the 3rd round, we are looking tight end. Now we can look, or maybe receiver, offensive weapon for Joe Flacco. I think I was pronouncing his name wrong. Kalele? Quinoa. No, I think it's Kahale or something. Sorry. It's my new Nikki Jabala. I'll figure it out.
Right.
But Waring. That's how you say his last name for sure. Waring out of San Diego State.
We talked about this the other day, but this whole Chris Harris Jr. thing could have some draft ramifications.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay, but that's a 1st or 2nd round pick then. you're not threatened if you're Chris Harris if they take a corner in the third round. That's not a big deal to you. If they take a corner in the first or second round, then we should all be prepared for the Broncos to trade Chris Harris.
Well, even in the third round, you can still get a guy maybe who got nicked up, didn't wasn't able to work out, maybe missed some of his senior year, but the guy who you scouted highly from his previous years, there could be a guy who slips who could be the Gronk of cornerbacks.
Maybe, but you're not going to know, and by the time you know, it's going to be too late, and you're just going to pay Chris Harris. If you don't draft a corner in the first or second round, I believe before minicamp in the first week of June, Chris will be offered an extension, and they'll get the deal done.
Okay.
Because I think that has got to be part of their plan with the draft. Are we going to do this or not?
Right.
And I think that's an ongoing conversation, as it should be. You don't have to make your mind up right now. Get through this process. See how everybody works out. Talk to as many people as you can. You don't have to sign Chris right now. And it's okay if he misses all OTAs basically up until that minicamp. But before that minicamp, it would be a nice way to go into the offseason. If you don't take a corner in the first or second rounds, you've made an acknowledgement that you are going to break the bank on a couple of defensive backs with Kareem Jackson and Chris Harris. Okay. I wouldn't do it, but okay. You've made that decision. The fan base will love it. Okay?
Fair enough.
Jim Benjamin. Jim Benjamin, by the way, from Channel 4. Sneaky funny on Twitter. Highly recommend Jim Benjamin to follow on Twitter. Because Chris, there was something out there about Chris and the money. And Jim Benjamin put out there, they're collecting at the TV station and they've saved $13.41. But most people were out of the office due to the storm. Funny. And Chris Harris responded to that with a, you know, LOL sort of thing. And, you know, Chris is cool and going with that sort of stuff. I think it's all going to work out for Chris, by the way. I think, and that should make Broncos fans happy. I think it's just a pinch financially irresponsible of the Broncos, but just a pinch. Like, it's not enough to, like, freak out or make a big deal about. Because we all love Chris. And we all want to see Chris stay here.
Right.
It's just that you hate throwing big bucks to, like, more than one person in a position group. Because at the end of the day, it shows you really just haven't drafted all that well. You really should kind of never get into that spot. Because you should be good in the draft and developing guys as they come. And really, our guy, I mean, we got Kareem Jackson. We threw away Bradley Roby. We drafted Brendan Langley. You would really have loved to have seen that story. Now he's a receiver. Where a guy who's drafted somewhere, third, fourth round, comes up to be that guy. I mean, Chris Harris became that guy from an undrafted spot. Yeah, whatever. It's not our money. What do we care? It just matters how you handle everything else.
Well, this Chris Harris Junior thing has a not an effect not only just on the draft, but think about the effect in the locker room. Here's a guy who gave you the hometown discount.
Yeah.
And how do you treat him?
But
going to be the next guy they're going to ask for a hometown discount?
You don't want to go through a summer like they did with Vaughn, where it's just every day of the summer, it's about the Vaughn thing and ultimatums, and we're out at Vaughn's football camp. Oh, you can't ask him about the contract, but we can talk about the football camp. Stupid. What are we doing here?
Uh-huh.
We're here to talk about the contract.
Now, right.
I get it. You're throwing an 8-year-old Nerf football. It looks awesome. You know, what's the deal, Vaughn? Oh, no. I can't talk to him about that. But, you know, if we want to talk about this. Hey, Vaughn, it looks like you're really sweating out there with these 10-year-olds, huh? Oh, yeah, it's great. It's a great program.
Who are you teaching the spin move to? Who's picking up the best?
And I was like, why am I here at this? What am I doing here?
I'm trying to get information about the contract. That's what you were doing there.
That was like the total desperation, what are we doing sort of. How are we going to do a show in July sports talk moment? But you can see where, here's why I feel confident about Chris, by the way. Because when we go through this process, you like Bush, Devin Bush. You like Devin White. We like Dalton Risner. We know they need to, I like Garrett Bradbury as a center. We know they have to improve on these things. Notice none of us are saying, whoo, we really got to get Greedy Williams. Or, hey, how about DeAndre Baker? Or, you know, stuff like that. And those guys are dropping, by the way.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Those guys both at one point were top 10 guys, and they are falling.
I'm seeing Greedy in that 30 to 40 range now, falling to the second round.
Happens to guys every year for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
Happens all the time. And he's there. If the Broncos wanted the best cornerback in this draft, they will be there. Denzel Ward went number 4 ahead of Bradley Chubb last year.
Yeah.
Just a different year.
He's really good, too.
He's really good. It was a great pick by them. The Browns killed it. The Browns are already a dynasty, Chad.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Thank you, Baker. So I think it's going to be good for Chris. I think he's going to be. I think the Broncos will take care of him. It'll happen after the draft. It'll happen before minicamp in June. Everybody will be copacetic. It's going to be cool. How do you like that prediction?
Well, that's a great prediction because that takes that cornerback off the list for, as far as the draft. You can focus on other positions. You can feel as if that position is now shored up with two guys who are going to be here at least for the next couple of seasons. That'd be fantastic. They're going to have to step strong to Chris, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. He's going to get paid. Yeah. He's going to get paid one way or the other.
Right.
Or he's going to sit out, or he's going to get traded.
Well, the Bronco fans want him here. They want to be paid.
I got it. So he is going to get... Here's what's going to happen. He is going to get paid now. They're going to rip that deal up or offer him extension on the current deal. He will have to sit out if he's not going to get paid. And then if he does that, the Broncos have to trade him. That's it.
That's pretty much the only options.
So let's hope he just, you know, gets paid and Jim Benjamin can raise money and everybody's happy.
I got some change in my pocket.
Meanwhile, Mark Schlereth wasn't bothered at all that the Broncos didn't talk to Bradley Chubb last year. Couldn't care less about that. But he likes it that they're talking to quarterbacks.
It's your daily exclamation mark with Mark Schlereth, brought to you by Shomp BMW.
All right, so yesterday your Denver Broncos met with Dwayne Haskins, the quarterback from Ohio State. And I'm telling you, guys, I love what the Broncos are doing right now. Their due diligence. Now, one of the issues with Dwayne Haskins, when you listen to all the draft nicks and the gurus out there, they all are talking about the fact that Dwayne Haskins is dropping down the board. His value has, I'm not going to say plummeted, but it has dropped to some degree, which tells me one thing. He had a great pro day, threw the ball exceptionally well, showed great arm talent, you know, great pocket presence, or as much as you can show when you're in shorts and a t-shirt. This leads me to believe that he's not doing a great job on the grease board. When coaches are sitting down with him and asking him to explain kind of concepts and what they're doing at Ohio State and how that translates to the National Football League, maybe he's not exactly acing those tests. Now, I would say this. If he's available at 10, based upon that speculation that I'm giving you right there, you can't touch him because you played that game before. That game's name was Paxton Lynch, who didn't do well on the grease board. If you remember, people were talking about him being a top 10 pick, maybe going to the Dallas Cowboys in the top 10, and then all of a sudden he drops. He's available at 26, where the Broncos climbed up to get him. Here's where it benefits the Broncos. If you at least pretend to have interest in the guy and you have number 10, does that mean Miami or somebody else will come to get him? Maybe Washington? If he's available and they need a quarterback, come on. You're not going with Ryan Fitzpatrick for any long-term benefit if you're the Miami Dolphins. So that's a good thing for the Broncos. But as far as Dwayne Haskins goes, I can't imagine him come September playing for the Broncos and getting his cleats on the grass.
Mark Schlereth and Mike Evans tomorrow morning at 6 on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.